There's so much to cover this morning. P U S H spells.
Mister.
Nowhere I have been. When I ask them to say push, they say, like, I know, I understand that you're probably very tired, but this morning I'm not taking that. P-U-S-H spells. That's right. Give yourself a round of applause, please. I like that because I'm going to ask you to say that a couple times during this meeting. I'm also going to ask, when I ask for young people, I mean people under 40. I mean people between 50 and 40 in particular. So I don't want anybody who over 40. So really gotta sit down. And I'm bigger. We don't want that standing this morning. All right, so I'm seeing a lot of people on Zoom as well. I saw about 50 people on Zoom. I want to greet you very specially. I want to greet specially Sister Bakwai. Please tell Daddy hello for me. I don't know if you remember this ugly face from she remembers this face from Guyana. All right. I want to thank Sister Bernice, Brother Javier, and Brother McCollery, because if you feel this face looking ugly now, if it hadn't been for them, I don't know, it would have been very droopy this morning, because I had to wake up early this morning to take my father-in-law to the airport after going to bed very late, and through the kind courtesy and the link from Javier and the transport from Brother McCollery, we ended up by Sister Bernice. I was told to behave myself. But you know, you don't give me a cordless mic. I don't know whose idea this was to give me a cordless mic. Because you know, wow. I sometimes I walk all down the corridor, all through everybody, touching people. You know, so you gotta be careful. Right. So, I want to say praise God and thank you for those who are invited for coming this morning. Really appreciate that. Condolences to those who, have deaths in their families and so on. Condolences. Congratulations to those who are celebrating anniversaries. Praise God. I normally say if you only slow down, I'll catch you. But I can't say that this time, you're way ahead of us. Okay. It's really an honor, as I said before, to be here at GT this morning. And I got that from Cap. Yeah, the GT, you know. I hope all my youths are in the house today. I'm missing quite a few of them. I think I saw Sarah there somewhere. I'm missing some of my youths. But I hope you're tuned in some way or the other. Because I'm about to share with you four biblical principles that will change your life and set you on the path of success. These four principles, or four executable principles, very simple, are also going to help parents and young and youth leaders to launch their youth into success. You know, the story is told of a king who felt it was time. His daughter was of that age. It was time for her to find a husband. Unlike me, you know, Brianne still has some time to go. But that king wanted to find a husband. And he decided to have a competition. So he decided, hey, I'm going to call out the brave guys in my kingdom. So he asked, he said, hear what? I'm going to fill this pool with everything that is aquatic, that is dangerous. He filled it with things like sharks. Oh, you'll help me. Things like alligators. Things like crocodiles. Things like piranhas, things like, help me please, I have limited time, electric eels, snakes, jellyfish. He filled it with all those things, and he filled that pool, and he said, bachelors. He said, the person who reaches the other end, when I say go first, gets my daughter. So I could see all the bachelors in GT would have been lined up. I don't want to call any names, you know. And before the guy, before the king could say go, he has splash. And a guy emerges from the other end and is breathing heavily. He said, my son, you get my kingdom. You get half my kingdom. So he said, I don't want your kingdom. He said, son, you get all, half my money. He said, I don't want your money. He said, son, you get my daughter. He says, I don't even want your daughter. He said, so what do you want? He says, I just want the man who pushed me. At times, we could all do with a push. Can we say that word one more time? Push. 3, 4. That's right. Say treaty style. 3, 4. Push. That's right. Young people, push yourselves by the will of God. Putting God first. Understanding your purpose. Serving with grace and hitting the mark. Adults, let us push them up in the way they should go. I remember showing you an image, something I had in a bag the last time, sometime in 2019 when I was here. I'm going to show you something else. I just don't have a physical image to show you, a physical, you know, item to show you. But I want to ask you, okay, you're not looking there, you're looking there. What? I know we probably long forgot what this is. But what is that? Look, Ray, look up there. Right. Ray just caught on. All right. No, he's taking notes, and that's good. So that's bread. Now, we're going to come back to this. Let me move on for a while. Because I want you to look deep at that thing. Young people, push yourselves by the will of God. By putting God first, understanding your purpose, serving with grace, and hitting the mark. Adults, let's push them up in the way they should go. Let us just, you know, get into it at this point very quickly. The word again, Ryan, let me see this word. 3, 4. We must push. Thank you very much. I hear a young voice over there. Thank you very much. The first principle, because we have to go very quickly, it's now 10 to the hour. Let's go quickly. God first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Amen. This is a long-standing principle that really works. In 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a woman who was on her last. Elisha came to her, though, and he said, came to her and he said, look, make something for me first. I know you're on your last with these things here, with the little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, but make something for me first. You know, she took a big risk and she made something for the man of God first. She put God first. She gave God priority. And as God would have it, that supply that she had never ran out after that. Praise God. She put God first by giving his servant priority. There are many more examples in the Bible. Maybe on another occasion, I would give you some others. Those of you who know me, know that I own very little. I almost said nothing, but I own very little. Those of you who know me know that I don't own land nor house. I don't earn or own a salary. I am not even adequately supported. I did not acquire the vehicle I drive at home on my own. But because of that put God first principle, I have everything at my disposal. Isn't God great? I have everything at my disposal. I have never been without anything that I need. Thank God for the ravens. Thank God for the widows. Thank God for the widowers who God has used to supply our needs. I have never been without adequate housing for my family and I. I have always had a vehicle to drive. In fact, God spoke to even Brother McCullery's heart to lend me his vehicle while I'm here, so that even here, I still have transport. Praise God. My daughter is studying here, and I'm sure you know that's cheap, right? You say, Brother Wilson said, It's expensive. So at great expense, she's studying here. We have been traveling extensively throughout the region and other parts of the world. I tell you, the put God first principle really works. Give God first place. I want to appeal to parents. Give God first place in your lives and the lives of your children. I want to appeal to parents that if you have not yet given your life to God, this morning is another opportunity to give your life to God so that you can give him first place and so that he can have first place in the lives of your children. Praise God. Leaders, I know that many among our leaders God first. But let us continue to examine ourselves. Let us ensure that we put him first so that we could set that example to the young people so that they can in turn put him first. Young people, put God first. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you would, in so doing, be putting God first. Visitors among us this morning, nice to have you with us. Let's give them another welcome with a round of applause, please. Really nice to have you visitors with us this morning. I'm going to again appeal to you, as I appeal to others, to put God first. Give your lives over to him. These are the last and closing things. It is the most critical decision you can make. So if you have a family member who has not yet given their lives to God, please appeal to them to give their life to God before it's time. We were created through him and for him. What we have, the things that we actually have, the things that we believe we own, just for us to use. They do not belong to us. It is for us to use to please him. Hello? Our bodies are to be used to please him. Our children are to be used to please him. Our time is to be used to please him. Our resources are to be used for his pleasure. These things are just to be used for his glory and his honor and his power. But where did I get that crazy idea from? Hello? Where did I get that crazy idea from? Look, right here. You see, let me see the other slide. Let me see if it's, you see what I mean? You all seeing that? You're seeing that? Colossians 1, 16 to 18, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he may have the preeminence. I tell you, put God first. That's the P in push. Put God first. God created all things. He has the power to sustain all things. He knows all things. He therefore has the answer to all your questions. He is everywhere and in every time and in every dimension. Wow. When you really think about that, God is really awesome. Not only is he in 1914, he is in 2214. Not only is he there, but he is in every dimension that exists. So while we are limited to this three dimension, it's still three dimensions, three-dimensional world, he is in every dimension that can possibly exist. So he knows where you will be 10 years from now. Isn't that great? To be connected with someone who knows where you will be or where you should be in the next 10 years. He knows. He knows what you're doing in the next 10 years. He knows if you're married. Once you give your life over to him and get connected with him, you'll be in safe hands. Benefits of putting him first. He knows where you're working. He knows your purpose. He knows what trouble you are in 10 years from now, if you're in trouble in 10 years from now. Or he knows what blessings you're experiencing 10 years from now. And he knows the path that you took to get those blessings. So he's going to be encouraging you, as we encourage you this morning, to stay on his path, to put him first and stay on his path where the blessings are for you. Think about it. You deviate from his path, you may be missing some things that he has there waiting. Stay on his path. He knows. You know, my daughter Rihanna, I told you this before, she thinks sometimes when she sees pictures of mission trips, she says to me, you know, you all are living your best life. But it's not just that, you know. But give him the best of your life and you will live your best life. That is not to say everything is going to be smooth and nice and he decides that he's going to give his life to God will suffer persecution. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here. But I'm saying that you will live your best life. You just need to follow his lead because he's already there. And all these things shall be added to you if you put him first. Young people, push yourselves by the will of God, by putting God first, understanding your purpose, serving with grace, and hitting the mark. Adults, let us push them up in the way they should go. Everybody together again. 3, 4. Amen. Second principle, very quickly. Understand the purpose. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 reminds us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. This has implications that include things that are not only spiritual. Here, text suggests that you train up a child in his or her inclination as well. It's not just in spiritual things. But I'm not saying at all that it has no bearing or context of spiritual things. But I want you to understand the full context of that verse. I told you about a young man that I knew. I told you about him already. I know I told you about this young man, but you may have forgotten. I know of a young man because of my work with the cadets and so on, and other young people. I know a lot of young people. Yeah? But I know of a young man who grew up in a poor family, bad area. Mother was divorced, father unfaithful to his wife, and as a result, he was born. He grew up without a father. He was divorced. Sorry. He couldn't be divorced. He was disowned by some of his sisters. He was a poor reader, not at all good at math. He was not popular at school. I did very poorly in school, actually, the first time around. Those from Trinidad and the islands would know of this, about this thing called GCE and CXC and that kind of stuff. Well, when he finished his first round at GCE, CXC, he had one pass. And that pass wasn't maths or English. It was art. He joined the cadet force. I told you I know this guy. He joined the Air Force and was told by a captain that he would never be an officer. He got a job at a crematorium where they burned dead bodies. I told you about this guy already. He was discouraged by many of his leaders. He was jilted by a girl. This guy was a real mess. He was not even good at sports. You would think that all these things not going for him, you'll think at least he could kick the ball. He couldn't even do that. His mother told him, she looked at him one day and she said, I should have made a bread instead. In other words, this youth was a mess. But today, because he pushed, and as a result of God's grace, he has been saved by the goodness of God. He has been described as a towering example among his contemporaries. He has been commended, for, among other things, for his outstanding service and devotion to duty. He was well respected by those under his authority. He was a computer teacher, the same, as we say in Trinidad, the same bouncy haired little boy. He was a computer teacher. He was the leader of many social groups. He is the author of a book. He is a full-time missionary. He's an international minister, a former youth camp director, tertiary level certified youth worker. He is the husband of a caring, beautiful young lady and a father of two bright young children. He is a major in Trinidad Tobago Cadet Force. He's a major in Trinidad Tobago Cadet Force. Higher than the captain who told him he'll never be an officer. This is that bread. Show them the bread. That bread is now speaking to you here. This is who that was. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when we look at that bread, what we may have failed to see as we ponder on that, as we say in Trinidad, a bread. It doesn't a loaf of bread. Comes a bread, yes? Comes straight to answer me here. No one so said a loaf of bread. Or as we say in Trinidad, a bread. You know? You're not looking deeply enough. What you are looking at there is a feast that could feed over 1,000 people. And this guy had five of those. And that was used. Let me hold on to this thing here. That was used to feed over 5,000 people because it was placed in God's hand. But that lad had kept it hidden like a greedy little child, never pushing it into the hands of God. It would have never become the feast that it became. But there is a feast locked up in all the loaves of bread that I'm looking at this morning. There is a feast locked up in this bread. Coming to think of it, my mother did in fact make a bread. That bread has and is being used by God to feed tens of thousands, pointing them to the bread of life through God's enabling. I remember putting up a video on YouTube, and the result was 45,000 hits. So I'm not joking when I say that bread is being used of God. Well, people who are young, should I say under 40 again? Stand, please. You're under 40, if you're under 40, under 40, please stand. Remember, you're in church. Spiritual? No, not spiritual. Oh, that's all right. Okay. Look at them. Everybody, look at them. Everybody, is somebody still sitting? Everybody, look. Yes, yeah, you can stand. Yes, you're under 40. I want to remind those of you who are standing, as I did before some time ago, right in this hall, that there is a feast locked up in you. There is a feast locked up in these simple loaves. Locked up in these loaves might be a successful spiritual leader, a pastor, an older sister who's going to guide the younger sisters, a lawyer, an engineer, a carpenter, a missionary, a teacher, a plumber, an electrician, might be locked up in these simple loaves. Soldier, police officer, fashion designer, pilot, a feast that can feed millions are locked up in these loaves. Young people, I just want you to do me a favor. Go look for a job. Oh my Lord, Brother Brown, where are you going? Brother Wilson, I think you need to warn him again, you know. Don't look for a job. Stop looking for jobs. Find purpose. Hello? Listen to me. Find purpose and open yourself to a career within that purpose. Become the feast that you are destined to be. Parents, stay standing. Parents and leaders, we need to put these in the hands of Jesus. Like that little boy took his loaves and placed it in the hands of Jesus. We need to put these in the hands of Jesus. We must train them and ensure that they develop in the way they should go. Do not destroy them by your negligence. Do not destroy them by your words. fathers do not provoke these to wrath. Commit your life to God so that He would be able to properly help you as parents and leaders to commit theirs to God. I know if there are anything like I was, if there are anything like I was, they could be a bit mischievous and resistant to development. You know, and some of my counselors could attest to who I was. You know? It would therefore take persistence. Hello? It is going to take some persistence and some patience to turn these loaves into a feast. But I want us all to understand purpose. You may have yours. Give them a round of applause, please. I like it when young people are around. It gives me hope for the future when I see young people around. Young people, push yourselves by the will of God, by putting God first, understanding purpose, serving with grace and hitting the mark. Adults, let's push them up in the way they should go. And everybody said, push! Everybody said? Third principle, very quickly.
Serve with grace.
Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Young people, this is serious business. This here is serious business. God really means what He says. You want to have grace as you sit. You want to ensure that you never look down on anyone unless you are helping them. I want to tell you that no definition of a successful life is complete without service. Young people, prepare to serve, because sometimes after leaders are motivated to give young people a chance, and they say, come, do this. So, oh, me? I do that. Prepare to serve. And not for reward. Not because it is imposed on you. Not grudgingly, but willfully and gracefully. I talk to a young person this morning. With compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. Don't be puffed up thinking of yourselves as superior to others. Be yourself as a servant to others. Consider others greater than you. Our words are very important, but sometimes we need to zip it and act. I'm not telling you don't use words. You still have to use words. But sometimes you need to zip it and act. Sometimes you need to act love. In fact, sometimes, why am I saying sometimes? All times you need to act love. You need to act relationship. You need to be actively involved in those things. Serve with grace. I had the honor of hearing a sister's testimony. After I ministered in a particular place right here in the USA, sister came to me after and she ministered to me. I was in school. In fact, I was in church. She sat there and she ministered to me. She told me, listen, I was a young lady, but in the church, in the assembly, and I got pregnant. Of course, I missed a couple of things, but she got pregnant. That was the end of it. In those days, she's older than I was, so you know what's going on. In those days, she said she was ostracized. She wasn't just disciplined, you know. She was ostracized to even come near to us. We're not even going to support you. She was alone, confused. I think the guy even left. I'm not sure. So she was very alone. She had the child, and again, she had nothing to eat, nothing for the child. I sat listening to her because, wow, she really got my attention now. And as she sat there speaking to me, she said, a sister. Oh boy, I can see some of them here now. A sister came to her. She knocked on the door and she came in and she said, where is your refrigerator? She started to offload stuff. She started to offload things without any other words. She started to offload things in the cupboards and in the things for the baby, things for her, things. She didn't say a word. She packed up her bags and she left. That hit that young lady like a bolt of lightning. He said, God has not abandoned me. I have to go back. And as she was on her way on the sidewalk, we would have said pavement. As she was on her way on the sidewalk, there was a youth meeting that was being convened, and the youth leader looked up and saw her, and the youth leader went to her, hugged her, and said, hold your head up. We walk him back into church. Those people acted love. That is what we need. That's what we need, church. They among the achievements, she's a singer, songwriter, motivational speaker, an artist, and ministers. Been souls for parents, leaders. If you're going to release your loaves of bread to be feasts, we need to serve with grace. We need to serve them as well with grace. Leaders, yes, we need to serve them with grace. Leaders, yes, we need to serve the young people with grace. Young people, I know it is easy for you to fall into the trap of seeing yourselves as knowing everything. There is a whole lot of value in the experience of the elders and those who are mature. Humble yourselves and heed the instructions. Serve with grace. Young people, push yourselves by the will of God. By putting God first, understanding your purpose, serving with grace, and hitting the mark. Adults, let's push them up in the way they should go. And we say 3, 4, push. Fourth and final principle as I hasten to end. Hit the mark. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. And this is a verse that has been misunderstood as well by many. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. What do you mean by that? Also, Grams on the spot, you know, that had to tell us what you mean by that. But I can't do that. I'll watch myself. To have such a full grasp on all that pertains to life. He has not counted himself to be perfect. But one thing, he says, I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. And what does that mean? Not resting on his past achievements. That's the context in which it was. Brother Archie, am I? Okay, praise God. But Brother Archie says so, so. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal. I press toward the goal. In other words, I for
signs of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, with all the accomplishments that the Apostle Paul had, and there are many here, I have over 20 of them here, I wouldn't read them. Go to the Word of God yourself and look for them. He was a Hebrew, Israelite, the seed of it. He had a lot of accomplishments here. With all these accomplishments, he was not puffed up, nor did he think that he had done enough and could now rock back. He did not see himself as having reached. Rather, he committed his all to God and continued to push. So push. Young people, what? Young people, at the end of the day, do not look back and focus on all your achievements. Because once you adhere to these principles, those achievements will be many. But don't look back at your achievements. Rather stretch forward and hit the mark. Stretch forward and hit the mark. I say, most importantly, toward the ultimate mark, the upward call, by giving your lives to God. Stretch to the mark of holiness and excellence, even while here on earth as well. Hit the mark.
Young people,
as I end with this, push yourselves by the will of God. Push yourselves by putting God first, understanding your purpose, serving with grace, and hitting the mark. Adults, let's push them up in the way they should go. And everybody said again, push. Glory to God.
Yes.